Please rise in body or in spirit for the reading of the scripture. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. In this, the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. There was a family, a mom, a dad, and two little girls. Like most responsible parents, they assign godparents to their children to help raise them as girls in their faith, and also become parents of the girls in the unlikely event that both parents died. Godparents in the Catholic Church is a more serious thing than we do sponsors in the Methodist Church, and they aren't always the godparents. Maybe they're your mentors, confirmands. But godparents are an important part of raising children, because in the unlikely event both parents die, there needs to be somebody for the children. The godparents of these two girls were Jason and Daphne, and they had two children of their own. About 10 years ago, a month before Christmas, the unlikely thing happened, and the parents were killed, and the two little girls became wards of the godparents. It had never really occurred to this family, to this couple, Daphne and Jason, that they would actually need to parent these two girls. They didn't really take that godparent thing very seriously. And yet, they had accepted it in honor and joy, but now the rubber hit the road, and they had to parent these kids. And all of a sudden, this family that was just the right size, mom and dad, two little girls, was now a family of four. The house was too small, the resources were limited, and all of a sudden, life was changed because of the commitment that they had made. But they weren't really sure that they should have made that commitment. Now, they became the godparents. But it's important for us to take our commitments seriously, because we never know when it's really going to happen in a tough way. This passage in Luke, in this story of Mary bearing God's son, was a story about Mary needing to change her plans, okay? So she was engaged to Joseph, and she was a young woman, and she had her whole life ahead of her. She knew that she was going to become a carpenter's wife, and, they would have children, and they would have their life together. Mary's life changed in a moment when the angel Gabriel, remember, kids, that's our guess who's coming for Christmas? Angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "God has another plan for you. It's going to be a little different." And Mary was at the center of that plan. When you read this passage, it's easy to focus on Mary's fear, especially when the angel says, "Fear not, I bring you tidings of great joy." And it's easy to then cling to Mary's obedience of God. And yet, if we dig just a little bit deeper into the story, we can read between the lines, and we see something even richer in this story of Mary. There are some key words in here that we cannot overlook. They're worth noting. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." That's what the angel said, "Fear not," and then Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. As if being greeted by an angel of God was not scary enough, now you're favored by God. To come in and say, you are favored by God. Can you imagine Mary's thoughts of being favored by God? We might rephrase it and look at the meanings of those words, and it would be, greetings, one who is graced. Mary is full of grace. If any of you have Catholic roots or Catholic friends, Hail Mary, full of grace. You are the favored one, God is saying to Mary. It becomes more than just about Mary, but it becomes about what God is doing through Mary. It's about God's grace breaking through into the world. God broke through using this ordinary girl. She was a young girl. They think 14 to 16. You guys are about that age. Parents, I know that it really is hard to think about. But that's when young women got married. And this ordinary young girl, God broke through and did this extraordinary thing through her. With a greeting like, greetings, favored one, could Mary really do anything else but comply with this plan that God had laid out? What if her response to the angel's advice or the angel's greeting had been different? And yet Mary accepted this. Mary was obedient to God's plan through the angel. Here again, these words in verse 38 that we just heard. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Mary was pretty accepting. But who is responsible for this obedience? Is it Mary? Or is God the one responsible for this obedience? Or maybe a little bit of both? I don't know if it went down as easy as it seems in the book of Luke. We have hints that Mary maybe wasn't completely on board with this whole thing, because she says, how can it be? I've never been with a man. She knew what needed to happen. When I read this passage, I imagined the things going through Mary's head when she was hearing the words. First off, she was probably thinking, how am I going to tell my fiancé Joseph? Right? That's a big deal. And what's my family going to think? And did you know that adultery, in Jesus' time, you could be stoned for it? Stoned to death for adultery. This was a society where being born, pregnant out of wedlock was a really, really big deal. But instead of dwelling too long on these things, Mary eventually consented obediently to God's plan and became God's servant in this. It was Mary's obedience to God that allowed her to bear God's son. It was Mary's submission that brought about God's salvation through Jesus Christ. Our faith, the Christian faith, is rooted in Mary's obedience, in bearing God's son so that he could die on the cross. Scripture tells us nothing is impossible with God. This is the impossible being made possible. The power of the Most High is coming into play here. How obedient, though, are you to God? How obedient are you in your lives? We kind of live our lives expecting obedience. We expect our children to be obedient, right? Sit quietly in church, follow the rules, do the chores. We expect our pets to be obedient, right? We even go to pet school so that our pets will be obedient. Our teachers expect their students to be obedient and to follow directions. And at work, our supervisors expect us as employees to be obedient on the job. And yet, when it comes to God, we all have trouble being obedient, right? We have trouble giving of our hearts fully to God, as Mary obediently and wholeheartedly gave her heart to God. What if Mary had said no? What if she had refused to be obedient to God? Would God have found another, or where would we be? Without Mary's obedience, where would our lives be? Our youth today have pledged their hearts to God through this confirmation journey, and it doesn't end there. They, like all of you, are asked to be obedient with their call in God's, with God's call in their lives. One of the questions they had to answer for me in personal interview is, Now that you've done the confirmation journey, how are you different? What's going to be different in your life because of taking Jesus as your Savior and heading this direction of faith? God asks the same thing of us. They're here because they've been obedient to God and answered this call of a life of faith. But God asks that of us. And if we are having trouble being obedient to God, we got to work on that. We must be willing to be obedient to God, because just as God had an amazing plan for Mary, God has an amazing plan for the way we live out our lives as obedient followers of Jesus Christ. The power of the Most High God is all that is needed. Nothing is impossible with God. Everything we're able to do in our lives, if we put our trust in God and are obedient to God, God will guide us in all things. Consider your obedience. Amen.